Bibles open, let's once again go to the Lord in prayer. Would you pray with me, please? God, thank you for Sundays. Thank you for a day where we come together as a church and open up the Bible and read the scriptures, consider them, understand them. And God, we pray as we look at this scripture today that we would remember the moms in our lives. But also realize, God, you've called us all to be examples in this world. And we want to live in this world representing you properly. And the way we do that is by knowing the Word of God. So as we study, God, I pray that you would speak into our hearts. Look into the inner parts of our soul, God, those areas of our lives that need adjusting and tuning and focus. Because we don't want to stay the way we are. We want to be changed. We want to be transformed, God, into the men and women of God that you've called us to be. That we would be a little bit more like Jesus. For he is our goal. He is our source of how we are to live. Knowing we'll never get there, God, but that we would continually strive to live for you. So bless us as we study your word. Bless us as we look to this truth. And may we walk away encouraged, equipped, and strengthened for the days ahead. So bless this time, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. President Wilson said about Mother's Day, "This day has been set aside as a time for a public expression of our love and reverence for the mothers of our country." That was back in 1914 when Mother's Day was actually put into place. And so important when we think about the moms in our lives, as my prayer was, I think about on Mother's Day, certainly my own mother, but those moms in my life that made a difference. Those moms that invested in my character, invested in my life, cared for me, spoiled me, if you will. You know, and our grandmothers. You know, I was thinking about it this morning. Boy, grandmothers probably even have a better job than moms, right? You get to bless the kids. And then you get to go home. You don't necessarily have to change diapers. You don't necessarily have to be up in the middle of the night. So grandmothers must be even more exciting. But Mother's Day reminds me of my mother, of course. And it should remind us of our mothers. And I'll say it now, if your mother's not here today or not in this area, I encourage you. Reach out to your mother. Encourage her. Do you know that there's more phone calls made today on Mother's Day than any other holiday? So if you haven't called your mom, make sure you do it today. No, my mom and dad were young when they had me. They were out of wedlock. My dad was 18, my mom was 19. And the way they tell the story is, you know, they were growing up and they did a lot of things together. They had life together. They enjoyed their life. But then they found themselves pregnant. And this was, the year was 1964. They were young. They knew they had to tell their parents. And the way my mother and father tell me the story is they told their parents and the parents all had a family meeting. All the parents got together with my mom and dad. My mom and dad sat on the couch while the families discussed what they're going to do. And the decision was made that because they're so young and they have still in school that families choose to have an abortion. And so my mom, being so young at that time, was sent away a few hours from where she grew up to her aunt's house, where she was going to, in the days ahead, have an abortion. How thankful I am she didn't. And in that time, as she was sitting there thinking that, my mom's countenance was very low, of course. And her aunt actually noticed and said, "Donna, why are you so sad?" And she says, "I don't want to lose my baby." And she says, "Well, you don't have to. If you want to keep your baby, you can." And she said, "Well, no one ever asked me what I wanted." See, back then, in those days, they made the decision for the kids. And I am just so thankful to my mom's aunt for noticing the condition of her heart and taking a stand and saying, "You don't have to give up your baby." Trust me, I'm thankful. Thankful for that aunt. I'm thankful for my mom stating her care and her concern. And so I am so grateful for the life that God has given to me. And guys, every single one of us in here, I don't know how your mom was. I had a great mom. And I know for some of us, our moms weren't that great. And I'll share it in my message. You don't honor the performance. You honor the position of the mother. It's a hard job. And I'm thankful that my mom and dad stayed together their entire lives. In those days, everybody, all their friends got divorces. But they stuck it out. And so it's a time for us to remember how important it is that we have the moms in our lives. Mother's Day is a very special day. It's a day when we remember our moms and all that they've done, their gifts, their talents, and their abilities. Mother's Day is made to honor every single mom. Every single mom. Not just your mom, but maybe the mom in your life or the people in your life. Anna Jarvis, who was the one that suggested to our government to have a Mother's Day, said this: a mother is the person who has done more for you than anyone in the world. Isn't that a true statement? Moms care for their children. I looked up the definition of the word mother in the Bible, in the dictionary. And as a verb, it means to care for and to attend to their children. Caringly, pouring into them and raising them up. That was their focus. And man, when I see a mother doing what they're supposed to do, it's a beautiful thing. I know moms that love being moms, that love caring for their kids. And you can see that on them. They do it tirelessly, and they're almost encouraged by it, even though it can be physically exhausting. And so it's a day where we remember the mother's heart, the mother's heart. Oh, it was many years ago before I was a pastor. I had felt the call upon my life, and I was actually officiating my first funeral, and I didn't know the woman that had passed. So I sat with her family, kind of got a little bit of the background. But during the funeral, during the celebration service, I had some of her friends and family come up and share some experiences that they had with this woman. And I learned very quickly how much of an impact this woman had on her community. Every kid on her block felt that she was their mother. She would accept everyone and she would care for them. And one gentleman stood up and shared, she was more of a mom to me than my own mother. And I was so taken aback by that. The impact that moms have, not only on their own kids, but on all kids, because it's a mother's heart. I believe it's the heart that God gives to moms to be able to care for their children and to see them grow. God has a job for you to do. Whether you're a mom or not, God has a job for all of us. But for especially moms this morning, God has specifically set you in that position for a reason, to care for your children. And if you're here today and you've got young children, I want to encourage you, stay the course. Stay the course and be the mom that God wants you to be. The last quote is Abraham Lincoln's. Abraham Lincoln said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother." It's one thing to be a mom, right? But it's another thing to train up your children in the way that they should go, right? Train up your children in things of God. And the title of today's message is Godly Character, or excuse me, Godly Examples. Because I believe moms can have that heart of God and represent God. Again, caring for, providing for, instructing, always there. Moms seem to always be there. There was never a time I didn't call my mother that she didn't answer the phone. And so God is like that. And so we as believers need to be the men and the women of God to be examples. So let's look at Proverbs chapter 31. Starting in verse 25, read with me. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. So the first thing I want us to look at in these things, just the adjectives that are describing this particular woman, this mother, if you will. Strength and honor are her clothing. She puts on strength. She puts on armor. These are the characteristics of a mom. And so true, the strength of a mom. You know, when you're a kid, right, and you hurt yourself, do you go to your dad? We know dads don't know a thing about bleeding, right? They just look at you and go, good, that's being a boy, yeah. What, moms? Oh, no, they nurture and they clean it and they take care of it. Moms just have that innate ability to care. There's strength and honor. These are things that they put on. You know, the Bible tells us to honor our father and our mothers. And that's why I said earlier, we don't honor the position. We don't honor their performance. We honor the position of a mother. There's no perfect mom. Amen? No perfect mom. Again, my mom was a great mom. She wasn't perfect. She had her flaws. She had her issues. But she did the best that she could. We honor the position. That's what God says, honor your father and mother. It means honor that position. Because it's real easy for us to go, I had a terrible mom and I had a terrible father and I'm not honoring them. Well, that's not right before the Lord. We honor our parents because it's right before God, right? That's why we do it. That's why we do it. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 6, we'll get it there. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may have long life on the earth. God says, do this. Honor your father and mother. Notice it says, in the Lord. How important that is. We are called to honor our parents as long as they're guiding and directing us within the context of the scriptures, right? And the things of God. We don't honor them if they're not doing the things that God tells them that we should be doing. It's so important that we honor them in the Lord because it's the right thing to do. Are your children obeying you? Are they honoring you because you're leading them in the Lord? See, parents weren't put into place to just set some rules for their kids. We have rules from God, right? On how we're to teach our children. So I encourage us all as parents, as husbands, as wives, as just Christians to teach kids the ways of God. I love sitting down and talking with kids. I have so much fun. So many things you can learn about a family by talking to the children. Uh-huh. It's like, make sure that your kids don't talk to Pastor Rob, right? But they're so innocent and they don't mind sharing. You can hear a lot in kids. I love it when kids bring conviction of the Lord in my life, don't you? It's like, you're a child. How are you thinking so deeply in the things of God? But sometimes God can speak to us through our kids, right? You moms and dads know that. Sometimes we think too lawfully, and the kids, they just think so simply, and we're like, gosh, that was a message from the Lord. What a beautiful thing it is. Notice it says that she shall rejoice in the time to come. She is not someone who worries. Anybody in here worry? Yeah, we're going to admit it. I love it. Right? She rejoices in the time that she's rejoicing in the future. She's rejoicing. Many times we can look to the future and worry. We can look to the, certainly we should look to the future and be concerned. Amen? But we shouldn't worry because God is in the future. Right? God sees what's going on. God knows what's going on. And God will direct us and guide us. We can rejoice in the time to come because we're what? We're trusting in the Lord. If we're going to be a godly example, we got to be those people that are trusting in the Lord. It's real easy to get stressed out in this life. Praise God. It's real easy to get overwhelmed in this life. But when we focus on the things of this world, we'll worry. But if we focus on the Lord, we can have peace because we know God will help us. So we're to be listening to God's voice. I wrote this down. Worry is a robber. Robs your peace. It robs your time, and it robs your sanity, right? The peace that surpasses understanding is what Jesus is. He is that peace, and he gives us that peace, and we don't understand it. When was the last time you had some devastating news and you've yet still sensed the peace of God? That's because you're trusting in the Lord, right? We all have those times in our lives where we don't know what the answers are. We don't know what the decision is to make, but we know that God does. So he's the one that we must seek. How well you know God is how well you will not worry about anything going on in your life. Can God do the impossible? Is God the one who can do the absolute impossible? Yes. So there we can put our hope and our trust. And we have to remind ourselves constantly, don't we? Because we might be fine this one moment, and then the next moment, we're worrying again. And then all of a sudden, we're reminded, now we're okay, trusting in the Lord, and then we worry again. See, it's that battle that we have. None of us are going to wake up every single day and go, praise the Lord. Although we should, because God never changes. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Wisdom, speaks wisdom. You know, I can remember the times I would just sit down with my mom and just talk. I was older, had some experience in my life, and I just enjoyed those times. Again, my parents had me at a very young age, so by the time I was 16 to 18 years old, I mean, we were almost like, almost the same generation at that time, it seemed. And we would just sit and talk, and I would glean so much wisdom from my parents because they had lived more life than I had. That's the wisdom that we're to be sharing with this next generation and teaching them and training them up. You know, we might laugh at some of the, you know, we ever see a commercial from way back, way, way back, you know, didn't even have color. And you look at it and you laugh, you go, man, I remember those days. I mean, I remember those days. I remember the couch in my living room that had more colors than my entire house has colors. Right? You just got that couch picture in your mind, didn't you? Some of you probably still have that couch. But it's amazing how we look to the past. But there's so much wisdom in the past. Can you try to imagine your life without a computer, without a cell phone, without a pager? You know, I forget what I was watching the other day, and it's like, remember when we used to have to walk up to the TV to change the channel? Then you had to sit down and watch the channel for a little bit, and then you would get up again, and there was three channels, right? Now we've got thousands of channels, and there's nothing good on. It's amazing to me. I'm like, none of this stuff looks watchable, right? It's like, oh, God, help us in the days that we're living. Just try to drown out the busyness of the world and receive God's wisdom. When was the last time you just sat in a place of complete and total silence and said, God, speak to me, right? Boy, the benefit we would receive from that if we would just let God speak to us, right? What's James say? Love this verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. What a promise. If any of you lacks wisdom, I confess, I lack wisdom all the time. You know, the decisions that are having to be made about this property, I'm like, Lord, give me your wisdom. We all lack wisdom. And the great news is, it's not hard to receive God's wisdom, right? If you want wisdom, what do you have to do? Ask God. And it says, and he'll think about it, right? He'll get back to you on it. No, he'll give it to you, and he'll give it to you liberally. Here's my wisdom. You know why he wants you to have his wisdom? Because he knows how the benefit that will help you in your life. So let's confess, we do lack wisdom. God, give us wisdom, and he'll give it to us. Notice it says in the next verse, but let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. So when you ask, don't think in your mind, well, he's not going to give it to me, because we all don't deserve it, right? None of us deserve God's wisdom. But don't doubt it, because he says, if you ask it, I will give it to you. moms, dads, all of us. We need wisdom, and we need wisdom to be coming out of our mouths. The words that we're speaking need to be words of life. I'm tired of people that are negative. I don't want negative people in my life. I want positive people in my life that are encouraging. Don't you agree? Yes. It's exhausting when I hear people that are negative. And I wrote that you cannot give what you don't have. Moms, you can't give wisdom unless you're receiving wisdom from the Lord. And all of us are like that. You want to be able to speak wisdom? You want to be able to speak words of life? Then you need the wisdom from God to be able to speak it. My mom, it goes on and says in verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Kindness. My mom was a very kind person, almost to a fault. I can still remember going to the dentist's office and sitting in the waiting room and my mother having a conversation with every single person in that waiting room. I'm like, Mom, please don't. I mean, she just did not know a stranger. She knew what those kids were there for. She knew what their husbands did. She knew their career. She knew everything. She just was a talker. As a kid, it was like, don't. But what a blessing that is. She was just kind to everybody. And almost so kind that it was a harm to herself. Like, if someone hurt her, she would never say a thing about it. Her sister, God bless and rest her soul, her sister would get on her about things, and she would come to me and she would complain about what she... I said, tell her. She goes, no, I could never tell her. I could never tell her that hurt me. I go, well, then you're going to be hurt because she was too kind. And I received that. A lot of my personality comes from my mother. But she was a very kind person, and we need more and more kind people in our lives. Amen. So that influence that we see in verses 25 through 27 is a personal influence. Again, we're godly examples. We have to have a personal influence. We got to be strengthened by God personally so that the words that come out of our mouths and the wisdom that we see is from God, that we have that personal influence on ourselves, because sometimes I need to remind myself how faithful God is. Sometimes I have to remind myself how trustworthy God can be and that I need not worry. That's the first thing. The second thing is the family influence, and that's in verse 28. It says, and her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you exceed them all. Whew. Okay, how many moms in here just said, man, I wish my kids would wake up and call me blessed? Do you call your mom blessed, Jennifer? You better. You got to do that. You better do that today. I mean, her children rise up and call her. But can you imagine if your kids ran into your room every morning and said, Mom, you're just so blessed. Man, we're so thankful for you. Do any of your children do any of that? Yes? Okay, good. We got one. The rest are like, Mom, when's breakfast? Mom, when are you going to get this for me? Oh, rise up and call her blessed because she's pouring positivity in her children. You teach that, right? You teach that, you train that, you exemplify that in your life, blessing people. How important that is. And it's a reminder to all of us how important it is for us to look at a fellow person and say, you're a blessing in my life. This week, a few days after Pastor Larry, I don't know, he may be watching. I miss you, brother. After Pastor Larry and Krista left on Friday morning, it really just kind of hit me that I'm not going to see them around the church any longer. For 18 and a half years, he's been here. And it just kind of weighed on me at how much of a blessing they were in my life. And I'm so thankful that they're retiring. I'm so thankful that they're going to a next season in their life to rest. But it's amazing the impact that people have on our lives that we take for granted, right? We're going to miss them. That's right. We take it for granted. While we're still here and while they're still here, let people know how much of a blessing they are in your life. It's such a simple thing to do, isn't it? It's not hard. I'm not saying lie to them, but it's like, tell them that they're a blessing in your life. I know in my life, my wife and I, we have busy lives, and sometimes we can take each other for granted. We forget to say how thankful we are for each other, how grateful. I'm thankful for the people that God has put in my life, and I need to let them know that. You're a blessing in my life, Pastor RJ. Amen. At least we got a good response on tape. Yeah, exactly. I'll get a follow-up email. No, I'm just kidding. My mom was, I would say she had a very blessed life. She loved her life. She loved her husband. That's one thing I have to say about my parents. They showed me what it meant to have a loving relationship. If they ever had trouble in their marriage, they never showed, it never showed. And she was blessed as a wife. She was blessed. The friends that she had, she loved her life. She loved her boys, as terrible as we were. But one thing I'll never forget before she passed, one thing that she just loved to do was sit at the kitchen table with a couple cups of coffee and just sit and talk to her boys. And it's, what a blessing that was, to have a mom that just wanted to talk and wanted to do life. You know, I spiritually, I feel like we need to put the spiritual anchor out and slow life down. Doesn't life seem like it's going too fast? I guess maybe you get older, like at me, and the older you get, you're like, oh, life went by too fast. I want to slow it down and understand the blessings that are in our lives. Verse 28, second half, her husband also blesses her. And he praises her, it says. And I know this is a Mother's Day message, but speaking to the guys in this room, it's our job to praise our spouses, to praise them. And not just to praise them to them, praise them to others. Boy, isn't the flesh terrible? We can get apart and get around some other guys and maybe we tear down our wives. We should not be doing that. We should be lifting them up and praising them and thanking God for them. And so every Mother's Day I read that and I'm like, I need to praise my wife. Thankful for the gifts and talents that she has. Thankful for her personality. We need to praise our wives more often because we're making a family influence. That's the thing I see here. And the second thing is this woman was making a family influence, influencing her family, pouring into our families. There's a lot of other responsibilities that we have in life, but family is the one thing that should be a major priority in our lives. Major priority. Third and finally, verse 30, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Personal influence, family influence, here I see community influence. Community influence. She makes a difference in other people. Again, and the second half of that, and let her own works praise her in the gates. That means the city gate. When they're gathering around the city gate, they're talking about praising this woman for her life. That's community influence. It's reaching other people and how important that is. But it starts out, charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. We need not to spend so much time on the outward appearance, right? And again, the older I get, the more I realize, yeah, that's over. That's done, right? My modeling career is never going to happen. So I just move on. It's the hard part of life. What's important to God is inside. It's our heart. It's our thoughts. It's our soul. That's where the real meaning is of who we are, right? Not the outward part. Listen, take care of it. Do the best you can. Fight the good fight when it comes to those things. But make sure you're investing more in your heart and in your soul and in your spirit than anything else. Because all this stuff on the outside passes away. That's the only thing that lasts. It's the only thing that goes on. A mother's influence comes from the Lord. Look at that in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. I mean, to me, this is not just for women. This is for all of us. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. And then that fear is not being afraid of God. Although there's an element to that, because God can do just about anything he wants, wouldn't you admit? But the fear isn't a reverence. It's an awe of God. It's being in absolute awe of who he is. Let us not lose this heart of fearing the Lord. Because, it says, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Don't you want to be known as someone that loved the Lord, that feared the Lord, that lived for the Lord, that honored the Lord? I sure do. I don't want anybody to look at my life and say, his career, his this. No, that he loved the Lord Jesus Christ, that he loved God, that he lived for them. And for that, we need that wisdom I was talking about earlier, to really fear God. Because when we truly fear God, sin becomes less appealing, my friends. Sin becomes less appealing when you're truly in fear and awe of the goodness of the grace of God. I cannot, none of us can, thank God enough for the grace and mercies he's given to us. Thank you, Lord. May we fear you. May we encourage each other to fear the Lord, to love him more than anything else in the world. And I know sometimes that's hard. Can you imagine loving something more than your child? Can you imagine loving something more than your family? Sometimes we think, no, but we should love God more than anything else. God should be the main thing. Because when that relationship is strong, when your relationship to God is strong, guess what? Relationship to your spouse is great. Relationship to your children is good. Relationship with your in-laws is good. Maybe I need to throw that in there. No, our other relationships. I see someone patting their father-in-law. All of our other relationships will be strong when our vertical relationship to God is strong, when we're truly taking our marching orders from God. We don't take our marching orders from our government. We don't take marching orders from anything else in this world. We take our marching orders from the Lord. And if God tells us to do something, because of our fear and our adoration for him, we say yes, sir, and amen, and be obedient. Because that's the difference that this community needs. It needs a church that is living in the fear of God. Does anyone in this room need to live in the fear of the Lord more? Well, it's good that there's a couple of us. Yes, we do. I don't think we'll ever arrive at that place where we think, okay, I fear the Lord enough. No, you won't. You'll never pray enough. It's never enough. It's always what God wants us to do. A couple more verses. Psalm 111, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of, there it is again, wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So fear of the Lord starts by receiving instruction from the Lord, wisdom from God. My prayer recently and more frequently is, God, give me, open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon me, because I want your wisdom. I want heavenly wisdom. God, give me your wisdom. I don't want to rely on my past experience to make choices in my life. I want God's wisdom to be a part of it. Do you want wisdom in your life? Fear the Lord. Do you want knowledge in your life? Fear the Lord. It's been said the easiest part of being a mother is giving birth. Some of you might go, no. There's more, though. The hardest part is showing up for it every day. You give birth once. You have to wake up and care for your kids. You have to be a mother every single day for the rest of your life. Wouldn't you agree we need moms that show up? Wouldn't you agree we need parents that'll show up for their kids? It's time for us as believers to be a godly example by showing up for the Lord, by showing that reverence that we have for him and want to live for him. The last verse I want to share with you, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This definitely applies to moms. Your labor is not in vain. You may not see the final results of all the good that you've poured into your kids or poured into anyone, but trust, your labor is not in vain. Because I believe the wisdom that God gives to us that we bestow upon others is eternal. And it'll bring conviction in people's lives when we remember those things. When we remember those things. There was another quote. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln, when he said, "No one is poor who has a godly mother," went on to say this: "I remember my mother's prayers, and they have followed me. They have clung to me all my life. All that I am and hope to be, I owe to my godly mother." Many of us in this room have moms and grandmoms that have been praying for us. And because of their faithful prayer of not giving up and showing up every single day, they've made an impact in our lives. Thank God for them. Now let's be the godly examples that God wants us all to be as we pour wisdom into others, as we share God's love for others, and as we fear him every single day. Amen? Pray with me, please. Father, I just thank you so much for this day. I thank you for holding back the rain just a little bit longer. God, we thank you for the many blessings you bestow upon us. But nothing more than your word, God, the word that you esteem higher than your own name, the word of God. How important it is to us to read these things, to understand these things. And though we may read Proverbs 31 and say it's the perfect woman, God, it sets a standard for us to live godly lives. God, help us, because we do lack wisdom. Help us to speak words of wisdom, words of knowledge. Those words from you, Lord. Help us to make a difference in other people's lives, especially this next generation. As I think about the children in Children's Church right now, God, there is such opportunity to pour into those kids, that they would learn to love you, that they would learn to obey you. But God, I pray that we would be those examples for them and that they would desire to follow our lead. So help us to be godly examples to our kids and to this community and to this world. For your glory, for your honor, and for your praise, we ask these things. For it's in your name we pray, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.